All right, this is the Happy House Hunters, our mastermind. So we're going to talk all things real estate. Yay, my favorite topic. I was doing a Build a Better Business call at noon, and of course we got off on real estate. So go figure. Yeah, it's kind of my favorite topic of all my lanes. It was my first lane, and it's my favorite lane still because it is the most passive for me. Now, I know that not everybody feels that, because it has to breathe, you know. You have to find it, and then you have to fund it, and then you have to fix it. And it's not until you can fill it, clear at the other end, that, and then you have to fill it a couple of times, mm-hmm. you know, to work all the bugs out. And then is when it finally starts to become passive. So Adrian, hang in there. It'll happen for you. It will definitely happen. So some of yours, am I right? David and Tammy, some of yours are now pretty darn passive.
I mean, they're pretty darn passive. It doesn't require too many calls or too much work.
And I think the more that you have some turnover, you know, at the beginning, you do get some of the bugs worked out. And for me, what changed my world was when I finally put everything on Inago, and then just was very firm with my clients. And then as I brought in new clients, I just basically, when I onboarded them, I just basically said, this is how you communicate with me. I just kind of educated them from the very beginning that if you have a maintenance issue or a question about your rent or anything to do that is in my wheelhouse, that is how you contact me. And so now they all do. And it has made my life so much easier. So now Mark and I are getting ready to take our travels to the next level. We did before the pandemic, and then we kind of pulled back, of course, through the pandemic. And now we're thinking about taking our travels international again. Not a lot, just maybe a couple of big trips a year. And then the rest of the time it would be, you know, here in the States. And so at that point, you don't always have the cell service. You don't always have the Wi-Fi. You don't always have those things depending on where you're traveling. And so at that point, I need to set up my systems so that I can have an admin basically step into my shoes and do what it is that I do. And so for me, it's going to be my daughter, Jennifer. And of course, Matt, all of you, I think, have met Matt. I don't know if Adrian's met Matt, but all of you, I think, have met Matt. And he does the CW Property Solutions, which is kind of a exaggerated handyman service, because he can do more than just maybe a handyman. But he's not licensed in all the trades, but he has a level of skill in most of the trades, and he's getting better every day. The more projects he takes on, the more he's learning, just like the rest of us. And so, you know, I'll have Jennifer, and then if there's an emergency, then, you know, Matt can handle an emergency while we're gone. So yes, we do like your logo, Adrian. Adrian just put in the chat. He says he's glad that we like his logo. Yes, we do very much. It looks very nice. I love it.
Very professional.
Very professional looking. Yes. And so the more that you can create that professional persona, I think the easier it is to manage the tenants, because it keeps you from getting down in the weeds with all of the issues. But for today, okay, Adrian has not met Matt. Well, we're going to have to hook you up, because Matt is a great guy to have in your back pocket if you have an emergency. Anyway, today I'm going to share the screen, and we're going to just briefly go through, and bear with me here till I find it, because we're still talking about funding. This is the month of funding. I got to get to the top of my screen here. So we're still talking about funding, and I don't know about you, but even if I have some savings, I don't necessarily want to liquidate all my savings. And then of course you have to have that emergency fund when, you know, a furnace goes out or a roof needs repaired or whatever. And one of my favorite hacks is that I have a couple of different credit cards, and they send me what's called convenience checks. Now, I'm sure that's because of my credit score. I'm in the 800s, and they want me to spend their money because they make money every time somebody borrows their money. That's how they make money. But my hack is on those convenience checks, I will use them for a big purchase repair. Like if I have a property that I've had rented for a couple, 3 years or more, and now it's to the place where it needs, I know I need to put new, I've got a couple right now. I know they need new windows. And I had a couple where the roof started giving us problems, and I knew that was coming. So what I did is I used my convenience check and actually paid for the roof. And it was like a $10,000 repair. And then that gives me oftentimes either, I don't know, sometimes 14 months, sometimes 18 months, sometimes 24 months that I can repay that. And so what I do is I just set it up on an automatic basis where every time the tenant pays the rent, I make the payment on that convenience check or on that credit card bill right out of their rent check. And I just have it set up to automatically pay. Now, I always keep in mind that the rent's going to come in somewhere between the first and maybe the fourth. And if they're running late for whatever reason, of course, with late fees with Inago, Inago takes care of that for me. And oftentimes the check and their rent payment and everything will clear by the 10th. So the 10th is my magic number of the month. And so what I do is I try to not have any of my automatic bills where I set up everything automated on my bill pay. I try to not have it automated to go out until after the 10th. And that gives plenty of time for all of the rent to get there. And again, I'm thinking ahead, you know, and I'll say it like this. If I'm in Italy, I don't want to have to be checking my bank account every day, making sure I don't bounce something because somebody's rent check didn't clear when it should have. So I always have all of my automations happen after the 10th. And a lot of times you can go in online because most everything is online these days. And you can go in online a lot of the companies will allow you to pick the date you want to pay the bill. Now, some don't. Some like electric bills or whatever. But anyway, I always do everything after the 10th as much as possible. So I don't have to worry about that. Now, let's say that I have a big repair, you know, trying to find the money. I have a big repair and I don't have a convenience check at the moment. And so I had one not too long ago. It was a commercial building and it needed a whole new roof. And we patched it a couple of times. You know, I was trying to buy time. And of course, your tenant doesn't pay you a dime more money, whether it has a new roof or an old roof. They just want a non-leaky roof. So to them, they don't care. As long as it's not dripping through the ceiling, they don't care whether it's old or new. They're indifferent about that because you don't get any more or any less rent. And so I patched it a few times, you know, trying to squeak through some of my other big repair items that I had going on. And once I got those paid off, I thought, okay, now I can spend the 10, 15,000, whatever it is, because it was a flat roof. It's the salon building over in Groveport. And it kind of needed a roof when we bought it and we babied it along for several years. And so finally I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. Well, I didn't have a convenience check. When the pandemic kind of came along, a lot of those credit card companies kind of stopped doing the convenience checks. And I'm like, oh no, that's how I fund some of my big repairs. What am I going to do? So what I did is I found the company that I liked their rate the best. And they were doing a special rate where for transfer balances, you could get 0% interest for 18 months. And so that was the best one I had, 0% for 18 months. So what I did is I went to a different credit card and paid for the roof with the credit card. And then before that charge actually was charging interest, because, you know, if you pay it off in full within the first so many days, there is no interest on the credit card. And so what I did is I then transferred that balance over to the one that was 0% for 18 months so that I could get that roof repair into payments. And then every time my tenant pays the rent, then I set it up automatically after the 10th to automatically make a payment on that credit card. So anyway, I just looked right before we left, because we left on the 7th of this month to come down to Sarasota to our condo down here. And so I went in and I looked at everything on, you know, the day we were leaving, because we left like in the evening on the 7th. So earlier on the 7th, I thought, okay, it's not the 10th yet, but let's see who all's paid. And so I wanted to just pay, make sure all of that stuff was lined up before I left for 10 days. And when I went in, I realized I've got one more payment on that roof, one more. And then that whole 15,000, whatever it was, is paid off. So now I can take a look at all of my properties. And this is the way I handle those. I look at all my properties and I pick the worst one, the one not as in cash flow, but the worst one that needs something, whether it's a roof or windows or a furnace or whatever. And I have one, where's some wood? I'm gonna knock on some wood. I have one that Mark keeps telling me, and my HVAC guy keeps telling me, that furnace might make it one more season. Well, that's been like four seasons ago. So I actually have reserved $5,000 to put a whole new furnace in my one duplex, because I know any given season that furnace is going to let me down. And I know that, but I wanted to get these roofs paid off. And so now that they're paid off, I'm thinking I'm just going to go ahead and do that furnace next, because everybody that knows anything about heating and cooling is telling me that, you know, they can, and my HVAC guy he's done a couple little repairs just to kind of patch it, to keep it going. And so finally Mark says, that furnace kind of worries me. And I said, okay, it's time. So at this point, that's probably next on my list. And then I have two properties that when I bought them, I knew that they were going to need windows, because they had the old wood windows. And, you know, after so many layers of paint, sometimes the windows get painted shut. And if they're on the old fashioned windows that are on the rope pulls, sometimes you have to restring the ropes, or, and it's like, are we really going to put that kind of labor into trying to dress up these old wood windows, single pane, whatever, or are we just going to get new windows? And so I have two properties. They're kind of fighting for first place on who has the worst windows. So that's at the top of my list. So anyway, those are some of the hacks that I use to do some of those major repairs, so that I don't have to actually use my own money. I always try to use someone else's money. And a lot of people are like, oh, you know, we went through this financial class and it says that, you know, you should have zero debt and you should always, you know, just pay cash for everything. And I get that. And if I had tons of cash, I'm still not sure I would do that, because it really is smart to use other people's money. It really is smart to use other people's money. And so think about that. So when you're purchasing real estate and you're like, how are we going to purchase some real estate? Here are just some ideas. So I know Tammy and David have purchased with different options. I've purchased with all kinds of different options, but Adrian has one, and he has a conventional loan on it. No, I think he has an FHA loan on it. Anyway, so he has one. And so what happens as you purchase more properties, then you start to realize there's really numerous ways that you can find the funds. And so with this month being all about the funding of the six F's of real estate, you find it, then you fund it. And then of course you have to fix it. Then you can either flip it or fill it. And then finally, what is your freedom number? So today we're talking about funding. So 10 ways to invest in real estate with no money, or if you have a low credit score, or both. And so we're just going to scroll down and take a look. Number one, you could get a hard money loan. Now it's called hard money because it's using the actual property as the collateral. It's not using it doesn't use your credit or your income. It's just using the property itself, the hard property, the real estate. So that's why it's considered a hard money loan. Those are usually temporary. So you want a way out at the other end, unless you're going to flip and sell it. And then of course, that's your way out. And so there's all kinds of ways to find hard money lenders. And Tammy and David, have you used hard money lenders?
We haven't used hard money. We've used private money. Oh, that looks like number two. So I won't get into that.
Yep, the next one's private. So hard money, there is a Real Estate Investors Association. It's the REIA meetings and network. And I think you guys have attended a few of those. And we went to Cincinnati and attended one, I think. So anyway, there is an association where a lot of those hard money lenders will advertise. And so you can go there and kind of research, but make sure that the lender's reputable. And it says that at least one person associated with the hard money lender must have a real estate broker license. And so that's one thing to just keep in mind, because if they don't, oftentimes they are actually a private money lender instead of a hard money lender. And so private money lenders, this can be anything. This can be This can be grandpa, this can be uncle, this can be, you know, somebody you work with. It's anybody that is willing to invest in what it is you want to invest in. And so it's considered a private money. So how often have you used private money, guys, David and Tammy?
So with our last purchase, one we're currently rehabbing, is our first time that we've borrowed private money.
Okay.
So the purchase price was funded through somebody's self-directed IRA.
Okay.
And then the rehab is funded through Tammy's brother.
Okay.
And then some gap funding for, because the IRA didn't quite cover full purchase, was funded through my father.
Okay. So now, and again, without getting down into the contract details too deeply, how do you pay back? Do they want paid out at some point, or are they willing to just take a portion of your profits? How do you have your contract written?
Yeah,
kind of in general.
Only the self-directed IRA has a true note and mortgage on it. And okay. It's a 12-month, 10% interest only. So interest only for 12 months and a balloon at the end to pay off principal.
And so at some point, you're gonna once that house is rehabbed, you're gonna proceed to get cash out of the house and pay off your private money lenders.
Yes. So yes. Okay. Sorry, the pause is there. So definitely the rents will cover the mortgage or the mortgage payments. The actual route to which we pay off the principal, we have several possibilities there, and probably be a few more months before we decide which one we'll actually use.
Okay. So what are you thinking? What are some of the ideas? Just for those listening, what would be an out to pay back the private money lenders? What would be some options? One would be just pulling, you know, just getting an appraisal on the house and getting a loan on the house itself.
And the cash out refi is the first and easiest option.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'd say definitely the most common. That's what typically people are going to do when they use private or hard money. At least what we hear most often is that, yeah, the future plan, if you're going to hold it, is to do a refi.
Okay.
Our other option is that we've loaned out some private money, and it should be coming due a couple of months before our loan is due. So we should have our cash back that we could just use.
Okay. So again, that's an option.
Yes.
Okay. So you have a couple of options kind of in the wings that, that you could go for. Now with refinancing to refi it back, of course, then you have to consider all the things like how many loans do you already have? Do you, you know, are you already at the limit of the number of loans you can have? Does your credit score, will it appraise? All of those things have to go into the refi, which is kind of nice that then you have that option of your own money sitting there. I like that option too. I didn't have that when I first started investing. You know, I was dependent upon the property making the cut, and I had to come up with the cash on wherever I was short, you know, out of my savings. But it was kind of nice when I finally reached the point where I could choose to either pay cash or get a loan. But if the loan didn't go through, I had the cash and I could still make the deal work. And so that feels kind of good when you get to that point. And that doesn't happen overnight. You have to have a few properties under your belt before that starts to happen. You could get a partner. Now, I don't know about you. You know, Mark, I suppose, is considered my partner, even though we're not married. He is my partner in life, and he also is my financial partner. And so my very first investment, I partnered with him in the fact that the lender decided to loan me 100% on a conventional note, providing that they could put their thumb on some equity somewhere. And I didn't have any equity because I had just purchased my own private condo and had moved to Canal Winchester, and I wanted to be self-employed. I wanted to get into the salon industry at the time. And so I bought my condo before I quit my corporate job. So by the time I went to the bank to try to get a conventional loan to buy my first salon building, I didn't have a W-2 or a 1099 or any kind of proof of income, because by then I was working in the salon, and every time a gal would stand up for my nail table, she'd put a credit card or cash on my table. And so I was getting paid individually by each client. And it was up to me to keep those records. And I only had 1 year under my belt on a tax return to show the bank my income. And I hadn't completed my second year yet. So they actually used my appointment book to prove my income that second year, which just still boggles my mind. But they said, we see that you're making the money to pay it, but we want to put our thumb on some major equity. Well, see there, I didn't have, they wanted the whole commercial building as equity plus more, because they were taking a risk on me. And so Mark offered up his equity. He didn't have to write a check. He didn't have to sell anything. He didn't have to give them any cash. He just allowed them to put their thumb on his equity on his property, kind of like a second mortgage. But we didn't have to make any payments on it. They just basically had an interest in his property until I paid some of my loan down on mine. It was probably 2 years before I could go back to the bank and say, look, I've been paying for 2 years. Can we reappraise? Well, see, in 2 years, the value of my building went up, my payoff went down, and all of a sudden I had a 20% loan to value spread in my own property. And at that point they said, well, let's do an appraisal. And if the appraisal shows those numbers, we'll take our thumb off of his duplex. And that's what they did. And so that's how I got into my first commercial building, is by having a partner in Mark loaning me his equity, no money, just his equity. So, but you could have a partner that could bring some cash to the table. So that's an option. You could make the seller the bank. And you guys work with CJ some. I also work with CJ. He does this all the time. He is the master of convincing people to let him buy a property and they carry the note for him. And so it's seller financing. Now, I haven't done any seller financing because, again, it has to do, I think, with where you are in life. And Mark and I, we want all of our properties to be cash flowing because we're at our retirement age. Now, if we were at the beginning stages of getting into property, I could see buying on land contract and selling on land contract because we'd have time to have things paid off. But again, we're at the place in life where we want them to cash flow immediately. But seller financing is a great strategy if you want to build your portfolio and you're not quite ready to get the loan from the bank. There is the benefits. There's little or no qualifying. It's all negotiable terms. Credit's not a factor. Flexibility to meet needs. Very low closing costs. It's kind of a win-win-win all the way around. And so that's a good option. And also consider wholesaling. Tammy, David, have you guys ever considered wholesaling?
Yes, and we've considered. We don't want to do it.
Okay, I get it.
No, but I should... We don't want to be wholesalers. Our first purchase, though, actually was from a wholesaler.
Yes. So. And I understand that. So wholesaling is where you're not a licensed realtor, but you find the deals. You do the whole finding part, and then you build a list of buyers. And basically, you're getting a commission for the finding is in a nutshell is what you're doing if you're a wholesaler. But you can make some money doing that. And so you could wholesale several deals. Let's say you make between maybe $5,000 or $10,000 per deal. You could wholesale several deals, and now you've got cash to maybe buy and hold one, or buy, fix one up, whatever it is you plan on doing. So it is a way to make some sizable cash. And there are buyers out there that love the fact that the wholesalers is doing all the finding, because it's a lot of work to do the finding. It's a lot of working with the folks that desperately need to sell their properties for whatever reason. And so estate cases are good, where grandma's passed away and the kids all have big houses. They really don't want grandma's house. They really don't even want to clean out grandma's house. They just want it sold. And then there's some where, especially with seniors living to the ages that seniors are living to these days, oftentimes when a senior needs to go into long-term care, the courts will order the properties to be sold. And so that money then goes for the care, and they have to spend it down before that person can go on Medicaid. Well, the family at this point, they don't care what the house sells for, because they're not going to see any of the money. They just know that they have to liquidate it so grandma and grandpa or whoever can get this extended care. And so oftentimes that's a good opportunity for wholesaling opportunities as well. So anyway, that's just wholesaling in a nutshell. One that is sometimes overlooked, and this is a great way, is an option to buy. It's a lease purchase option. It's not necessarily a land contract. And here's the big difference. They look very similar, but a land contract, you cannot sell a house on land contract if you have a mortgage. Usually the mortgage nullifies you selling it on land contract. But because what that means on land contract is that you have a lot of the ownership rights right up front on a land contract, and that the seller literally is playing the part of the bank. On an option to buy or a lease option, the seller maintains the ownership of the property along with the bank, because there's usually a mortgage. And you just have basically a lease agreement that says you have the first rights to buy that property after you reach a certain dollar figure that you've leased it for. And usually there's a balloon or a payoff, kind of like what you guys are doing with a private money lender. But it's a great way to get into some property that still has a mortgage where somebody really just needs out from under it, you know, for whatever reason, but yet they don't have the money to pay off the lender. You're basically paying off their lender. And when you reach a certain ratio, then your name can go onto the property. It's all done legally. It's all in a legal contract. It's safe as long as you have all the right parts and pieces, but it's a great way to add more to your portfolio. Then of course there's house hacking. I love the house hacking. I'm doing a form of house hacking by just renting out rooms on short-term rental. But a great way is house hacking, where you can use any of the traditional methods we talked about, but you rent half and live in half, because you have to live somewhere, right? So Tammy and David are doing a particular form of house hacking where they're using one structure on their plot of land. There's what, 4 units there, and you're living in one?
Yeah, 4 units, 3 buildings, 1 plot.
Yeah. And so my house has 4 bedrooms, and I basically am living in 1 bedroom, and I've kept the kitchen and 1 living room and dining room for me. But then the parlor and 3 other bedrooms I'm renting out on short term, which is another version of house hacking. So that's another way you can get into property rather inexpensively, because you have to live somewhere, right? So anyway, there is also buying investment property without a huge cash investment. And that's the REITs. And it is a real estate investment trust. And that's where basically a group of people all share in investing. Now that's different. An investment trust, a real estate investment trust, is different than crowdfunding. So I do want to mention the difference. There is an organization out there called Fundrise, which I participate in, and it is crowdfunding. It is not in a trust. It's crowdfunding. And so I can share in the dividends, but I'm just making these investments. There's no means at the other end for me to sell my shares if I want out. Whereas in a real estate investment trust, then it's their shareholders. You co-own a group of properties, and you can actually sell your shares to get out of the trust. And so just keep in mind, there's 2 different versions there, and just know the difference between crowdfunding and investment trust. And then of course, there's our favorite, the BRRRR method, where you buy a property, you rehab it, you rent it, you refinance it, and then you repeat. And that's kind of what you guys are doing right now, Tammy and David. They bought, they're in the process of rehabbing, they're gonna get it rented, and then they're going to refinance to pay off all of their private money lenders, or they're going to use their own cash, whichever comes first, or whichever one they choose at the time. And then all of that money is available again. All those private lenders, their whole point is they want to lend, because that's how they make money, is off the interest. And so they want to give you their money again so that you can repeat. And then of course, government loans. And we've all heard about the FHAs, the USDA, the VA. My kids, Matt and Jen, they actually got their house on a USDA loan. And again, you have to just kind of, in this article, the links are there. You have to just kind of look at the links and see what makes a house eligible for an FHA versus a USDA versus a VA, and what you have to bring to the table and what the property has to have to make that available. But those are very low credit score requirements, low down payments. And after a while, after 1 year, you can use that property as an investment property. So now that Matt and Jen have been in theirs for more than a year, now they would really like to move up, purchase a different house, and use their current one as an investment. So the bottom line is that you can invest in real estate with bad credit or low credit or no money. It just means you have to have passion, perseverance, and desire. And if you can package that, there is no ceiling to your success. So good job, everyone that's on the call. And so, I'm excited. My last two investments were condos, one being the one in Florida, which is where I'm sitting right now. And so what I decided to do when I bought this one, because there was a lot of owner occupied properties in my complex. It's a 55 and owner over, and you have to be owner occupied for the first 2 years. And so I wanted to get a footprint in Florida. And so what I did when I found this one, first of all, it had been on the market for a while because it hadn't been updated. And so I didn't think they had a lot of offers. And so I just offered them asking, and they accepted. And then when I got a hold of the realtor, I said, I want to get this one financed. I want to go the traditional route, pull all the credit, do all the appraisals, just go the traditional route and get a mortgage through a bank, just a regular conventional note, and do 20% down and go that route. And so that's what we did. And it was a struggle because I was in Ohio and the property's here in Florida. And the irony, which for those of you that have had mortgages, Adrian, I remember everything you went through to get yours. You know, Stephanie was having a hard time even finding a lender that would even do your amount, $40,000. Well, for my condo down here, it was only $52,000. So I had the same struggle. Nobody wanted to loan just $52,000. They all wanted it to be $100,000 or more. I'm like, nope, I just want to borrow $52,000. Now I had the cash, so that was my backup. You know, I had the cash in the bank as savings, and I could have written a check, but I didn't want to use my cash. You know, I'm always saving my cash for a rainy day. I'm always saving my cash for that deal that I don't want to get away. And so with this one, I said, okay, I'm going to do the loan. Anyway, finally, we're going through the process, and Mary says, I need to have your financials again. And I'm like, I thought I sent my financials to Mary. So I said, okay, well, where do I send them? So she gave me where to send them. So I did that. And then later, Mary says, I need your financials again. And I said, I could have sworn I've sent you my financials twice now. Okay, I send them again. So then down there, and each time I'm making a copy of everything I'm sending and who I'm sending it to and all this, and it seemed like this email kept changing. And I kept thinking, what in the world? Finally, after about the third or fourth time, I said, okay, Mary, enough. I said, I have sent you this information like four times. And I said, what is the deal? And she said, oh, no. In Florida, we do not process anything at the lender level. Everything is done offsite. So she said, there's a Mary at each level. We're all different Marys. I said, oh, so now I was so frustrated by the time I got to the closing table. So in Ohio, my packets are like that thick when I have a loan on a property. And in Florida for $52,000, my packet was like that thick. And I'm like, what? Why is this so hard? And Mark and I even sat down at one point and we were just going to pull the whole loan application. And I was just going to write a check. That's how frustrated we became with the whole process in Florida. It was just hard. And then at the other end, I kept saying, you would think a state that's full of snowbirds that they would have run across this before. But at the other end, I said, my mailing address is Canal Winchester. My mailing address is Canal Winchester. They sent everything to the condo mailbox. And then they were like, we have to have this back because of your closing. And I said, I don't live in Florida. No, I didn't get it. And they're like, but you got to go pick it up. I said, I'm not in Florida. I'm in Ohio. I can't drive over and pick it up. So anyway, you get it. It was not easy. So several times during the process, Mark is like, why don't we just write him a check? This is getting to be too crazy. I hung in there. I still have my cash intact because I hung in there. So then when I ran across the condo in Columbus, right off of Livingston Avenue, close to McNaughton, and I wanted that one for a midterm rental, that's when I decided I was going to use my cash. Well, I didn't want to use my cash. So here's how I handled that. I have a house on Lithopolis Road that had been my parents', that when my dad passed, of course, it went to my mom. It was a house my dad built. So I'm emotionally connected to this house because it was my parents and my parents built it. So anyhow, when my dad passed, it went to my mom. And when my mom passed, it went to me. And so I had an appraisal done on that house because it was in my mom's trust. And I had to move the house from my mom's trust over to my trust when she passed. And so that's why there was an appraisal at that time. Well, the bank was sitting on this appraisal. And so when this condo came available, I contacted the bank and I said, I'd like to pull cash out of a property. I said, but I don't know. I said, I kind of like to make this the cash deal because I don't think this condo is going to last long. And he said, I already have an appraisal on the house on Lithopolis Road. And he said, it's way more than you need. So he said, just stop in and pick up a check. I said, okay. So what he did is he activated a line of credit against the house on Lithopolis Road. And I just went in later that same day that I called him and picked up a $52,000 check and made a $52,000 cash offer on the condo. And within 10 days, we were at the closing table. And I bought the one bedroom condo there in Columbus. Maybe it was 59, but it was in the 50,000 range. So anyway, then I thought, okay, now I really don't want to have a loan against this house of my mom and dad's because that's kind of my cash cow, if you will. You see where I'm going with this. That one, I always want to keep that line of credit there, but I want to have me owing nothing because if I come across a deal, it's so easy for me to just call up my guy and say, hey, I need to come over and pick up a check because it's already approved and the money is already sitting there in a line of credit. And I don't pay anything on it if I don't use it. If the money intact. So I wanted to pay that line of credit back so that the cash was there for me to use again and again and again and again. So what I did is I made it a cash deal, took the line of credit and bought it. Then I took the time and got a hold of the same guy, Canal Banking's my favorite. And so I went over to Canal Banking and I said, now I want to go through the process and I want to pull the cash out of the condo itself and pay off that line of credit so that I can reuse that line of credit over and over and over again. And so they said, okay, not a problem. And they said, we just have to do an appraisal and you know, again, last 2 years of tax returns, make sure that you're at least, you know, vested 20% of the overall purchase. And again, I think it was less than 30 days and a packet, a little teeny tiny skinny thing. And I ended up closing on that loan because now with a midterm rental, just rule of thumb, whatever the market will bear on rental income on any property, midterm, you can charge about twice that. And short term, you can charge about four times that. That's the rule of thumb. But keep in mind, for every level, it's more work. You're making more money, but it's more work. So in a midterm, you might have to go in and I'll call it flipping that property every 13 to every 26 weeks. Most, again, it depends on who you rent to. It could be a corporate. It could be a traveling nurse. Midterm is anything over 30 days, but under 12 months. And so I've had to flip mine once since I purchased it back in December, and this is August. So I flipped it one time in there. And so, and usually it's an easy flip. The folks that are traveling aren't real hard on a property. They don't come with kids and dogs and all that because they're working away from home. And a lot of them even go home on the weekends. So they're not even there full time. So anyway, and I'm getting about twice the rent. So it was easy for me to get a mortgage on that one and cover the mortgage and still cash flow. So a one bedroom in that area would normally rent for about, I'm saying give or take $700 a month. And I'm actually getting $1,400 on a midterm. And so my $700 covers all of my expenses. My $700, the first $700 covers the mortgage. It covers the HOA fee. Again, it comes with all utilities. And so I pay the utility bills, all of that. I can cover everything in the first $700. And so the second $700 is all cash flow for me. And so that property actually generates $700 a month cash flow. And it's a one bedroom. And so that's crazy. And the tenants are basically buying me a condo because I'm using that $1,400 that comes in every month to make that mortgage payment. So I'm using somebody else's money yet again. So anyway, so now my line of credit is back in place. So I'm just waiting for something to drop in my lap that I can't say no to. So you get it. So let's go around. Tammy and David, what are some of the ways that you financed and what are some of your ahas that worked for you really, really well?
Well, I think we've done an awful lot of the ones on your list. So we've done cash deals with a cash out refi to get that money back. We've done just conventional mortgage. That's what we did here on this one, we're house hacking. And I saw this point on your slide. But yeah, I think another important benefit with house hacking is that all of those low cost, low interest loans like the VA and all of that, mm-hmm. Those can only be on your primary residence, but your primary residence can be a multifamily home. So you can qualify then for those low interest rates.
The house I'm living in, actually, we have an FHA loan on it. And we have, somebody said that they thought this was going away, but it's if you're a certain age, you get a property tax credit. And so we get that because of Mark. And so we're getting all the benefits, but yet we're collecting rent from three of the bedrooms. So yeah, I get that. That's a great hack. Yeah.
We also have a line of credit. So we've used that for down payments. And then like David said, we did private loans.
I think that might be it. Yep.
Okay, so no land contracts, no lease purchases yet, but
we've written offers for like seller financing, but so far none of them have been accepted. Yeah, no land contracts, no lease options, not yet. And we hear, because we've definitely looked into those things, but the people that do it well, like a CJ, do it a lot, beat an awful lot of bushes.
Yes.
Find the people. And we want this to be more passive. But, you know, the finding definitely is never super passive. That always takes some work, but we're not willing to turn this into a 40-hour a week job.
I get it. Now, I fell into my one land contract that I actually did. I kind of fell into it. We were driving around. We wanted to do yet another salon because we had rented a building in German Village because the owner was going to sell it. And so we were going to do kind of like a lease purchase. Only ours was we were going to rent it for 3 years and then we had the first rights to buy it. And he said, oh, I'm definitely going to sell it. So we said, okay, perfect. So that's what we signed. After 3 years, he said, you know, he said, two brothers owned it. He said, my brother and I really like the income coming in. We've decided not to sell after all. And when we went in there, we redid the floors, we redid the walls, we insulated it, we put in a new bathroom. But again, I had Mark in my back pocket. So it just cost us our materials because Mark did all that labor free. And so anyhow, we had a going concern there, but there was no reason for us to continue just renting, you know, and having to maintain somebody else's building. So that's when we decided, well, let's go ahead and buy our own building. Well, we found the old post office in Groveport at that time. And there was a sign out front for sale and I checked it out and they wanted something like $100,000 for it. And I'm thinking, you know, a building in downtown Groveport, you know, that's probably a pretty decent deal. And so I just kept my eye on it. And after a while I noticed that it just stayed on the market. And finally we got a hold of the realtor and she said, we can't find a bank to loan on it because the building itself needs brought up to code. And of course, Mark knew he could do that. But she said, everybody that wants to get a loan on it, the banks are like, no, because it won't appraise. So they can't get the loan. And so finally, realizing that, we got a hold of our realtor and we said, would the seller be willing to sell it on a land contract? And then we'll bring it up to code at our cost. And so we struck a deal that we could buy that building. 52 must be my magic number because we bought that for 52,000. And so anyway, Mark went in and he took a couple, 3 years, but he did all the work himself. And of course, when you're on a land contract for 52,000, your payment's like $300 or something. It wasn't huge. And so we just continued to pay that on the land contract. Well, fast forward, he got his part done on the rehab. We got it rented. It was rented for years. We've paid off the whole land contract. It now went over into our name. You know, everything worked out beautifully. And we now own the building 100%. It's totally current to code. It's totally rented and it's cash flowing. And that one, that's the one that I put the roof on. I knew that was coming. I wanted to get the building paid off first because I didn't want all of those expenses at once. And so now I've only got like one more payment on the roof and that building will cash flow really well. And so again, we did that one on a land contract because no bank would loan on it. And it wasn't that we didn't want to get a bank loan. It's just the property wasn't eligible. All right. Any questions? Adrian, how about you? Any questions? Any comments? He might be working and listening in. I get that.
Hello?
Yeah, there you are. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good. How is your flip coming now that your gal is out of there?
I'm at this moment, but other than I'm still like fence is I'm looking for affordable paint brushes now, things like that. So
okay.
So that's what I'm doing right now. Just like I feel some of those like holes like you told me about. It's just that is this some new surprise where I see that's going to take me back a little bit. But other than that, it's fine.
Are you getting some estimates for your drain?
Yeah, I've had a couple. I'm up to two between Eco Plumbers and another company. One is more expensive, but the service and it will be more or less stressful for the next situation. But the other one is more expensive. But it's more expensive, but they will put in the backyard. There will be a more easy access to the main pipe next time, so I have to go in the house.
Okay.
So
they're going to put a clean out in for you.
Yeah. So it, like I said, the main pipe doesn't need to be replaced. It needs to be repaired. But each one near, the one that is going to cost nearly $7 and the second option about over $7. Like I said, it's just, I come to conclusion that, I'm going to leave it for last. Because if I decided to go with the second option, it's going to cost me monthly at least between $150 to $170. And if I'm I'm not going to have enough by then doing that and rehabbing that house. So it's going to hard to do that and pay that on a monthly basis. So I'm going to do it when I get closer to a tenant. So they at least pay for some of the costs.
Right. I get that. And I'm thinking, I don't know what the rents are going for in your area, but you might revisit what rents are going for. It could be that you could bump your rents up a little bit too.
Yeah. I wanted to talk to you that when I get there. So I'm just taking everyone one step at a time.
Yeah. So if you could bump your rents up, even if it's just 100 or 150, I mean, it doesn't have to be a bunch. Really will make a difference in paying for some of your cost.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like I said, I'm just looking at my options right now and things like that. Like I said, I want to talk with you with that first before I decide to make any decision, but I'll be more specific with you.
Absolutely. So anyway, you're on your way. And what is your time frame? When would you like to have this unit back on the market to rent?
Really next month, but this is how the wait time is and how my jobs are. At least before October. This is me wishful thing, but I want to be back as soon as possible.
Okay. Now, do you have the means to do the drain repair? Are you going to put that on a credit card, or what are your plans?
I was just going to decide to pay monthly.
Will they carry it for you, the actual company?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Then again, take a look at what their interest is on their pay plan.
Mm-hmm.
Because it could be that you could find or maybe even your own credit card might have an option to transfer a balance at 0% interest. And it could mm-hmm. be that you could end up transferring it. There's some options there. So we'll chat. You want to get it as least amount of interest as possible so that your payment is as low as possible.
Yeah. Like I said before, like no matter what I do, no matter what option I ask for, it lies around that range no matter what. So I'm just gonna stick with these two for the most part. I'm waiting for another plumber. They haven't come yet. They said they're supposed to come between 8 a.m. and 1, and it's about to be 3 o'clock now. So
oh wow.
So, yeah, so I'm not sure I'm gonna use I'm yeah, yeah, I'm not I don't think I'm gonna use them, but we'll see. We'll see how much they willing to pay. But like I guess I'm gonna check a couple of more, but most likely at this point I'm just gonna start painting and start cleaning.
Yeah. I don't think you have a whole lot to do. I think just patch your nail holes and touch up your paint since you're using your signature color, and then just kind of mm-hmm. clean, give everything a good wipe down, and I think other than your sewer you're ready to go again.
Yeah, I don't have to do more than one coat, right? I just got to do like one coat of paint.
Yeah, I don't think you even need to paint the whole wall. If you're using the exact same color, sheen, and everything that you used before, I think you can just touch up.
Yeah. Can't believe it or not, but people that stay for 6 months, it's like they've been there for 6 years. There's a lot of, there's a couple of things I have to do. Like the walls, they're like, I thought I didn't do much, but when I look closer to the wall, it looks real dirty, things like that.
Yeah, but again, you don't have to do all that trimming. Even if you had to roll a whole wall, you don't have to do all that trimming. And that's huge. That makes life go a lot faster.
Yeah. No, that's true. This, like I said, I wish I could finish on time, but life's going to be longer than expected.
Well, I get it. Hang in there.
I will.
So this has been great. We've talked about a lot of different ways to fund our next deal. So I want to say thanks to David and Tammy for letting us put them on the list to do our boots on the ground at their most recent rehab. So yes. we get to go through that and they get to show us what they're doing and how they're updating. And we get to ask them all of those very personal questions when we're there at Boots on the Ground. So thank you for that. So, okay. Well, thanks guys. Glad you tapped in today. I hope everybody got a little bit of inspiration out of our conversation, ready to do your next deal. So
bring it on.
How many do you have now, guys, David and Tammy?
4 properties.
Okay. How many doors?
10 doors.
10 doors. Did you ever think, you would be that far in this amount of time?
So no, when we first started out, it was definitely hard to see how we would get to 10 doors. So September, so I guess just next month will be our 2-year anniversary at this. But now it's like, oh, where's the next one?
I know. Tell me, am I right? It gets easier.
Definitely, you're right. The whole pause was that, yes, the things that we've done before get easier, but then we keep doing new things that we haven't done yet. So. But then those will get easier.
Yes. I love it. All right. Thanks, guys. Yes. Adrian, thanks for tapping in today. We love that you're here.
Oh, absolutely. No problem. Nice to speak to you guys again.
All right. Hey, we'll see everyone later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.